No,
And
by the
that's
time
like,
I got to high school, we were fully on the internet,
we were all
you
in
know.
that. Cell phones was out. We had all that by then.
Oh, I had the Nokia. Did you have the
The flip
Nokia
phone?
flip? Yeah.
Welcome
No.
to Highly Questionable, where I realize I didn't even really have these things in college, and I'm feeling so old that
Nah,
no,
you just was smart. You were
wow,
just smart.
yeah,
You
I
didn't look ahead
guess we
ever.
got old young Mina Kimes, and not quite as young, but younger than me, Dominique Foxworth, and I'm just old.
Does LeBron's bum ankle make Lakers Warriors more or less interesting to you?
All right, so to get out of the play-in tournament, the Lakers needed to win and they needed Portland to lose. Well, Portland beat the Nuggets. And so the Lakers and the Warriors are going to be playing on Tuesday in the play-in tournament. And late in the game, LeBron James tweaked the ankle just a little bit, right? He looked like he was okay. He walked off, maybe not the worst thing in the world. But the more that ankle is hurt, the more interesting the matchup with the Warriors
Yes.
becomes, because a fully healthy Lakers against this version of the Warriors, there's no question which of those teams is better. A hobbled LeBron, and you might have the chance, a Super Saiyan Steph coming through and being enough to get the Warriors through. And then the Lakers are playing for their season after they lose that game, if that happens in the hypothetical. Look, man, this is going to be a fascinating Western Conference playoffs if we get it, because if the Lakers wind up there, either the Jazz or the Suns are going to have to play them. They worked so hard to get that high seed, and your reward is playing against the defending champions, looking healthier than they have all season long. And the NBA has got to be rooting for it, because ain't nothing Raiden's kryptonite quite like the Mountain Time Zone. They would love nothing more than if LeBron and Steph got the Jazz and the Suns up out of there and the playoffs started feeling kind of familiar.
Yeah, LeBron and AD are going to be fine. The ankle doesn't give me any concern. I do find it interesting that the one person who took an elbow to the face on that play is the one person whose health we do not care at all about. We're all worried about how LeBron, who didn't even really land on his foot, was walking a little bit gingerly off the floor. I don't think it's going to impact the one game playoff between him and Steph at all, but I do think it does give us something else to talk about, because LeBron is so important that somehow we lead the show with the injury that was not an injury because he is LeBron James. So yes, I'm excited about the game. And no, I don't think this impacts their standing against the Warriors.
That's such a good point, Dominique, because Steph Curry like just won the scoring title, broke all these records for doing it at his age. He was amazing yesterday. And our question is, well, what about LeBron like possibly rolling his ankle? But Bo is absolutely right. It is relevant to this game, because if LeBron was fully healthy, the Lakers would wipe the court with the Warriors. Like, I understand that the Warriors have been really good as of late. I think over the last 20 games, they lead the NBA in net rating. The role players look good yesterday. Draymond Green looks like 5 years ago, Draymond Green. And then, of course, Steph Curry is incredible. But it's not really about LeBron. It's about Anthony Davis in this particular matchup, or the fact that the Warriors just don't have the size to keep up with him or Drummond or Gasol. So the only way I find this really interesting is if LeBron isn't 100%.
Look, man, unless the Warriors gonna be clicking bottles, all right? Those Warriors might have a chance against the Lakers. These Warriors, man, I mean, and look, it's kind of a heartwarming tale that they managed to pull this all together this year. But do you see what happens when Steve Kerr leaves Steph out for those first few minutes of the game, of the fourth quarter? Oh, boy, boy, we got to get him right back in there, man, because that lead just disappears. And they could have lost that game if Dylan Brooks didn't foul out, because Steph was great,
Yes.
but they can't count on anybody else. Like, if that dude's going to have to put up 36 shots in order for them to beat teams like the Grizzlies, man, they wouldn't have a chance against the Lakers with full strength. But will we know how healthy LeBron is at any point throughout this postseason? Because it wasn't that long ago he went all dramatic and said, I ain't never going to be 100% again, or something to that effect. And they're going to have to play every other night if they get into the playoffs. I have no idea what's going to happen in the West. None.
But this is exactly what LeBron wants, which is for us to move the expectations down. Like him saying, Steph Curry's the MVP. Jared Dudley saying, this is the most challenging season, not just that the Lakers have faced, any postseason team ever. That is peak LeBron James, right? Which is like preparing us for the very small likelihood that they don't advance.
Are the Clippers soft or smart for tanking to avoid the Lakers?
All right, so this is interesting because the Clippers could have been the 3 seed. They finished tied with Denver, which has the 3 seed, but has got the tiebreaker. So they are now the 4th seed in this, and they will play the Dallas Mavericks. But there was a chance that the Lakers could have gotten the 6 seed, and if the Clippers were the 3, they would have had to play the Lakers, and it looks like they wanted no parts of that. Now, does it make them soft if they made this decision to do that? Yeah. There's kind of no way around that. We don't want to play you. That scares us a little bit. We'd rather play somebody else. There's no term to describe that other than soft, unless you're Adam Silver, at which point you describe this as great idea, fellas. Great idea. We would like to have both of you in this as long as we possibly could. Like, if they're going to get, what, a freeway series? The subway series doesn't really fit. If they were to get a freeway series, they want to get that a little deeper into this. They don't want to start picking off superstars early. They would much rather both of those teams go find a way to take somebody else out.
I don't understand this. I mean, I do understand the logic behind it, which is that the Clippers don't want to play the Lakers until the Western Conference Finals. But I thought Jared Dudley made a good point. I can't believe I'm quoting Jared Dudley twice in one show when he said, wouldn't you rather face LeBron when he's nursing a hurt ankle, right? Like, that makes sense to me. And I do think this is soft, not because the Clippers don't want to play the Lakers, but because I think they are afraid to get embarrassed in the same way they got embarrassed in the bubble with an early exit. Like, they are putting this off as long as possible, even though from a basketball standpoint, I don't think it's the smart thing. And that, to me, is what is soft about this.
Yeah, the other word you could use to describe this other than soft would be strategic if it wasn't for the fact that it's not actually that strategic. Like, the strategic move would be to take on the Lakers now when they haven't had much time to play together, when maybe LeBron is nursing some sort of injury. And also, if it's about saving face, I feel like you can rationalize losing in the first round to defending champs a lot more than you can rationalize losing to any of these other teams, which they have a chance to lose to quite a few of these other teams. They may not even make it to the finals. So I feel like coming into this situation, you're better off taking on the Lakers in round one, because if you win, then no one's thinking about how you choked last year. If you lose, you're like, hey, it was LeBron and AD, the defending champs. Then you have a story to tell. Right now, they've set themselves up to see the Lakers in the finals, in the conference finals, when LeBron is healthy, AD presumably is healthy, and they have had some time to get everything back in order and understand their rotations and how they're going to play. So I don't really get this from any standpoint.
Yo, imagine the disrespect you feel if you're the Mavericks, right? The team that pushed them last year in the playoffs. And they're saying, yeah, we'd like to play you guys again, right? They did not look at that like, oh, they gave us all we could handle. They're like, nah, we'd much rather play against them.
Up next on HQ.
Nick Castellanos is really good. He's hitting 326. The reason why they're talking about Manfred is because he was suspended for the fight or whatever. None of that matters to me. I will never not see him and not think, deep drive to left field by Castellanos until the end of time. Like, they could go to the World Series, he could go to the Hall of Fame, he could do whatever, anything, and I will never not think that.
Yeah, here's the way I put it about 40. They make lists for 40 under 40. You ain't seen a 50 under 50, have you? Not once. Not a single time in your life. That's the world telling you what time it is right there.
Do you question who deserves credit for this home run, Nick Castellanos or this fan?
All right, so Nick Castellanos plays for the Cincinnati Reds. I do this whenever there's a baseball topic because, honestly, I don't be knowing who these dudes play for. Let's get a look here. Oh, that's a frozen rope. A frozen rope. There we go. Daps up the Reds fan with a Barry Larkin jersey, Hall of Famer. Now, here's Castellanos after the game talking about his encounter with the people.
You had a fist bump with a fan after that home run. Was there something that led up to that?
So he's standing right here. You can he come and you can ask him yourself?
So I told Nick when he got up there that he should imagine that Rob Manfred's face was on the baseball. Oh. And the next pitch, he lit it up over the fence, baby.
Wow. Oh, that's right. The Reds have a new broadcaster. Anyway, that's getting your money's worth about your time on television right there. Like, that dude didn't even know he was going to be on TV, and he was ready for his close-up. Shout out to him for maximizing the opportunity.
Your point about the Reds having a new broadcaster, like, just reminds me, like, Nick Castellanos is really good. He's hitting 326. The reason why they're talking about Manfred is because he was suspended for the fight or whatever. None of that matters to me. I will never not see him and not think deep drive to left field by Castellanos until the end of time. Like, they could go to the World Series. He could go to the Hall of Fame. He could do whatever, anything. And I will never not think that.
Oh, that's right. It was him. Yeah, that was,
Yes.
I wonder what what's going through his mind in that moment, because you have to imagine that the Reds media team is like extra careful since then. And they're like, oh, we're giving the mic to a fan? We can't mess this up. A fan who is probably could say something ridiculous? Like, that had to be a nervous moment in all the Reds media organization.
Right. There's one guy in there that's like, guys, I don't know. And this, it'll be fine. Right. It'll be fine.
Have to be doing apologies next week.
Like, I get that we are now, you know, vaccinated and the CDC says we don't have to wear masks and all that. Like, am I the only one, though, who's watching that and seeing the guy put on the headset and be like, and thinking, I would not take that back from him. Is that, like, are we there yet as society?
Let me tell you about the word that I'm not using with vaccination. We. I done seen the numbers. I am not that confident.
And that's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos.
Do you question how this should make Sue Bird feel?
All right, Sue Bird is 40 years old, and there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, here she is talking about, you know, one of her teammates, Kiki Herbert-Herrington.
The way I always joke about it is 40's the new 30. Although I found out today, oh my gosh, guys, this is just terrible. I found out today that our new teammate, Kiki, her mom is my age. We have the same birthday. Like, she's 40 the same way I'm 40. She was like, oh, no worries. She's a young mom. I'm like, she's a mom to my teammate. She's like, she's excited to meet you. I was like, yeah, she probably wants to, like, hang out and get drinks. We're the same age.
Yeah, like, that was the moment where Sue Bird, if she didn't fully understand it, this is what they think of you. Like, not necessarily in a bad way, but right. Your mom, right? Like, you full on 100% register them in the mom zone. I imagine that is incredibly humbling. It's like the first time somebody calls you sir, and you realize they don't call everybody sir, just old people.
Yeah, she had to feel old. Like, we could look for some other words to describe how she feels, but she had to feel old. But she also probably should feel some pride, because I don't know what Kiki's mom has done, but Sue Bird has accomplished a lot in her 40 years. I think she got 4 championships, gold medals, and a bunch of other stuff. So she could be proud, but you're old.
She's still killing it. I watched the game. She shot 50% from 3 and the Storm won. But to Bo's point about the sir thing, that's when I knew I was relatively old, because I am still conspicuously younger than you two. It's when NFL players started calling me Miss Kimes. And God, that feels terrible.
Yeah, here's the way I put it about 40. They make lists for 40 under 40. You ain't seen a 50 under 50, have you? Not once. Not a single time in your life. That's the world telling you what time it is right there.
Do you question if this is a compelling brand of wrestling?
All right, we are going out to Indiana for something that is called the Pro Wrestling Train Wreck.
What is... Oh God!
No. Crotch fire. And a weed whacker?
Crotch fire. Oh my God.
This is ridiculous.
Are they pouring beers on him?
Yeah.
Hold on.
This is not part of the show.
There's not a fire extinguisher on deck? Like, when you knew that you were going to do this? Now, just so you guys know, the dude who had his crotch on fire, isn't that a Kings of Leon song? Anyway, they say he okay, that everything, he's been tweeting about it and everything else. I don't even remember what the question was. Just stay in school, kids. Stay in school.
I mean, that was all terrible. But the fire extinguisher, you got to have one handy. You have to have someone who's a professional doing things like this. And also, like, did his pride get in the way? Because you got to take everything off. Like, if you are ashamed of what's going on down there, that's too bad. Y'all going to have to see it. Because at that moment, he's trying to run away. And I know y'all going to have to see everything, because I'm not keeping no fire pants on. Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow had fire on his pants.
It was on it, though. It wasn't actual fire.
I think it's worth, Bomani, you clarified for viewers, the guy is safe. Our producer also told us he is excited about this clip and is enthusiastic about it being shared on the internet, which, like, to me, feels like this should be his thing going forward. Like Dominique, you said, Firecross should be his new name as a wrestler. That Kings of Leon song should be his entrance music. Your sex is on fire. He has to lean into this completely.
Yeah, so the thing is, it's wrestling, right? So you can call yourself Firecrotch, but that then requires creating a whole character around being Firecrotch, which I don't think is the rep that I would want out here in these streets, myself personally, right? Like you are Firecrotch. That's why everybody claps when you come in the room. I don't think I want that.
So if we got the People's Elbow as the Rock's finisher move, then what becomes Firecrotch's finisher move?
The Hot Link.
Up next on HQ.
I didn't know that you hunt squirrel, though, but I'm like Bomani. I'm not country. Oh, I'm from the South, but I played football enough places that I've been around enough people where I had a teammate who was like, hey, when we saw roadkill when I was a kid in the backwoods of Georgia, we would pull over and pick it up because that was a meal. So, like, I wasn't shocked by it. I don't eat squirrel, but I don't judge those who do.
If Manny Machado had flipped his bat, guys would be losing their minds. But he just took a dude out, and no one on the field seemed to care. I do not understand.
In Baltimore, Ravens OTAs.
Okay, so Ben Cleveland went to the University of Georgia, and I have taken a spin through his Instagram page, and this dude is country. How country, you ask?
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. I don't know if it was a specific diet. It's more so one of those things where, you know, you eat what you got in the freezer from the fall. So, you know, had a few squirrels freeze-dried in there, so... You know, get a little hungry. Ain't got no deer meat left. Fry up a squirrel or two and, you know, just go eat that.
It also made me realize how country I am because he said that he eats squirrels. And I was like, yeah, y'all didn't know that? Y'all didn't know people did that? Like, not me, myself personally. But there was no shock to it whatsoever for me. Mina, on the other hand, is aghast, right?
Aghast, but also not surprised. Like, if you played that video without sound and I just saw that man's beard in, like, you know, a situation, I probably would have been able to guess.
I didn't know that you hunt squirrel, though, but I'm like Bomani. I'm not country. Oh, I'm from the South, but I played football enough places that I've been around enough people where I had a teammate who was like, hey, when we saw roadkill when I was a kid in the backwoods of Georgia, we would pull over and pick it up. Because that was a meal. So, like, I wasn't shocked by it. I don't eat squirrel, but I don't judge those who do. More power to you.
Well, hold on. The level of country, though, you go to the squirrel when you ain't got no deer meat left, right? Yeah, like, basically, he only eats what he kills himself. None of that. Like, the other option was go to the store. Why would I do that when I got these bullets?
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, Rockies and Padres.
All right, so I do know this much about baseball, right? I knew that Fernando Tatis Jr. was not playing for the Padres, so therefore this is probably going to be something about Manny Machado, which then maybe in my mind raised the question, what orificious thing did Manny Machado do this time? Because he's a bit of a jerk. This is what he did this time. He could easily give himself up here in the base paths, but why do that when you can take the dude out right there?
That'd be apologetic about it.
Ben Cleveland want one of them jerseys, by the way. right, and then helped him up off the ground at that point. Somebody gonna give Machado the blues. I'm surprised it didn't happen. We need him and Amir Garrett to get into something because you know Amir Garrett is here for it. Mina, are you intrigued?
No, but your point, though, is what I find so interesting about this. Like, in baseball, if Manny Machado had flipped his bat, guys would be losing their minds. But he just took a dude out, and no one on the field seemed to care. I do not understand the politics of this sport.
And that's even though they don't like him, because Albert Bell once elbowed his second baseman halfway there, but people didn't like him, so it turned into a thing. Dominic, you intrigued?
I'm not intrigued, but I do agree with Mina. Isn't that when you're supposed to hit a guy with a pitch? Like, isn't that when you're supposed to have your own justice? Like, we all rail against the unwritten rules and using a baseball to retaliate against people's celebrations. But nobody out here is going to cape up for Manny Machado when he's diving at people's knees unnecessarily. Like, I don't want to see anybody get hit with a baseball. But if somebody got to get hit with a baseball.
All All right, that is our show. Check out Mina Kimes or the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny, her podcast and dog. And check out Dominique Foxworth on Foxworth Fridays on The Right Time with Bomani Jones. It's a podcast. Who hosts it?
You do.
I'm going to be on Mina's show too, I think.
Yeah, you are this week. Yeah, good point. I forgot until now.
Wow, I tried to make it about me and somehow it became about Mina.